listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We've got an action-packed hour on Wednesday for you. New feature. It's called Cash Questions. These are questions. If you answer them correctly, you're going to make cash, and we're going to debate or discuss them. Also, Wednesdays, we take our first look at the biggest games of the weekend coming up, the first early Vegas look. And also, two best bets at the end of the show. Not one, two of them. We got the pros who know, but just one pro today, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, Fezzik with a family day, sports bettors listen for the money, sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you, but you can't have pros without Joe's. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we come to you live every single day from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We start in the NFL. The talk around the sports world centers around Green Bay and the fallout from Mike McCarthy's firing and who will be the next man in charge to work with Aaron Rodgers. So, RJ, we've heard the rumors. We've heard the speculation on the Packers' next head coach. What do the numbers, and more importantly, what does Vegas say about the next head coach in Green Bay?
Yeah, that's what Vegas does best, is objective or make objective the odds. And right now, the favorite to be the next, and this is the betting favorite to be the next Packers coach, Josh McDaniels, plus 170. So 100 wins you 170. So far less than 50% chance, but the clear favorite, Josh McDaniels. Number two, Lincoln Riley, almost 3-1. So 100 wins you about 300. The third favorite, John DeFilippo, Minnesota's offensive coordinator, a little bit over 3-1. And those are the big three. I mean, it drops all the way down to 10-1 after that. And you see a lot of names. So McDaniels, Riley, DeFilippo. Now, also on the list, interesting, potential, the odds, next Packers coach, John Harbaugh from the Ravens. And then Jim Harbaugh, Chris Carter today on First Things First said, hey, he had a source, a contact that said that Jim might be interested, or at least is in the running. Now, his odds aren't even being offered. So if Chris Carter's correct, the betting market doesn't think so right now. And when it comes to, you know, Michigan, well, it'd be interesting if Harbaugh left right now.
Why would you leave now? The guy you couldn't beat with all your might is finally gone. Urban Meyer is retiring in a month. Why leave now? Everything's there for the taking.
Well, there's a couple of answers here. One could be Harbaugh.
He smells.
I mean, it could be that, right? Just in general. It's erratic. But also it could be that in a weird way, it almost be like, what's the point? Like, even if he wins next year against the Buckeyes with Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, how much less satisfying, Brad, would that be? It's almost like if you... And they actually talked about that with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Like, on one hand, you could think when, you know, Larry hurt his back and was out, you know, wasn't as competitive for a while, Magic felt like he wasn't as engaged. He said it. And vice versa, Bird felt the same way when Magic wasn't playing, or, you know, with the HIV and all that, where he played, then, or he was playing, then he didn't, then he was playing. So Harbaugh, let's give him credit. I'm not a fan. I'm more not a fan because I respect him. And as an Ohio State grad, I don't like him, right? But I got to appreciate that he's a competitor. Whatever. Yeah, listen, when you smell, it's because you're moving so much, you're so excited, right? He's a competitor. Let's give him his due. In a way, it could be like, well, I can't really achieve, I guess, a national title obviously would be a hell of an achievement. But it strikes me the two things he'd want to do is beat Ohio State, specifically Urban Meyer, and win a national title. Now he can only do one of them. It seems like that for a normal person, that having it, making it easier to beat Ohio State would actually make the Michigan job more attractive. But I think for an alpha A-type like Harbaugh, it makes it less attractive. What do you think, Brad?
I couldn't agree more with that. I know when I'm competing with someone spot for spot, if for some reason they leave, man, the satisfaction of beating them, to me, that's better than anything. And now that they're no longer there, it just wouldn't feel the same to me.
That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, I found some of the news coming out of Green Bay very interesting. One, I think what we clearly see here is it was a purge. Our assistant producer here in Vegas, Sleepy J, made a great point. If you look at the number of coordinators and other assistant coaches that were swapped out or let go in the offseason, it was a big, big number. So it was almost like, okay, we can get rid of these McCarthy guys without getting a lot of publicity, without a lot of equity. You know, these aren't as known guys, so maybe the fans aren't going to rebel. But McCarthy, we got to, you know, can't get rid of him unless he, you know, something looks really bad, you know, the season looks bad or whatever. But it was almost like they gutted his staff. And then they had, you know, McCarthy left, and then or he was left on the team. Then he left because he was fired. But then, to me, what we saw with Winston Moss. So 12 years this fellow was a coach on the Packers. And he tweeted out something that pretty much said, and a lot of you guys might have seen this, is we got to hold the whole team to a standard of winning Lombardi level championships. Now, he did say number 12 and all the players. But boy, that seems like obviously Aaron Rodgers is taking a huge percentage of the salary cap. He's obviously the biggest player on the team. So the idea is saying, you know, hey, Bob Dylan and his band better do X. It makes sense you're going to say that, or Beyonce, or whomever the star is. Or maybe something like, boy, RJ Bell and those straight out of Vegas guys better get their act together. It would make sense you'd lead with the guy who's the name guy on the show. So the idea that he mentioned Aaron Rodgers, it would seem weird that he didn't. If he didn't, but literally, this assistant coach, 12 years of loyalty with the Packers, was fired for that tweet. Boy, if that's not a sign of a purge, it was get rid of anyone against them. Well, it leads you, I think, naturally to say, if you're intelligent, well, boy, the Packers better get a strong personality in there to butt heads with Aaron Rodgers. But the question is, I think it's going to end up being the opposite, because what the purge has happened. Why would they get rid of someone who's resistant to Aaron Rodgers and then bring someone else that's going to be resistant? I think the firing of the assistant coach, Winston Moss, is a real sign that whoever gets hired as the Packers coach is going to be a yes man to Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, we can say LeBron's done that in the NBA, but coaching in the NBA means so much less than coaching in the NFL. To me, an open question, Brad and Jonas, if there was a, and yes man might be a little pejorative, if there was someone that was going to be reluctant to really push back against Rodgers, for me, I would say that makes me so much more pessimistic about the Packers in the next couple of years. Jonas, what do you think?
We always assume that this is just going to be an offensive guy. It's going to be a quarterback guy, a guy who can build a relationship with Rodgers. We've seen it in the NFL. The general trend is that if you have a defensive guy, the next coach you bring in is going to be an offensive guy. If you have an offensive guy, and vice versa. To me, the move would be to bring in a defensive-minded head coach. A guy I brought up, and a guy that's not even on the odds, it's not even being mentioned, is Vic Fangio, who's a defensive coordinator with the Bears. And the reason I think it makes sense is you don't have the coach-quarterback relationship that deteriorated and pretty much ripped apart the team like you had with McCarthy and Rodgers. Hire a coordinator, have Rodgers and the coordinator develop a rapport, and get a guy in there who's not so closely tied to Rodgers, because if one goes, they're both gone, and we've seen it happen with McCarthy.
Well, I tell you this, Jonas, that goes so against what Colin Cowherd thinks. So let's think about Colin's basic concept, which is defensive coaches these days are so much less important than offensive coaches. Thus, if you want to get the elite offensive coaches, you're not going to get them by hiring them as a coordinator, because they're getting jobs as head coaches, like a Nagy. Even 5 years ago, Nagy probably hadn't had the experience that he would have got hired as a head coach. But because there's such a premium on offensive minds, those guys are all getting up, like guys that would have been wide receiver coaches 5 years ago or OCs. Guys that would have been OCs are now head coaches. So I think the only way you get an elite offensive mind is if you hire them as head coach. And it's Colin believes, I think he's probably generally right, that the difference a great offensive coach can make, even as your head coach, is so much more than what a defensive coach, that difference he can make. Now, Brad, you agree in general that if there isn't the pushback from the coach, that's a negative?
Oh, well, it certainly takes away a lot of candidates that are strong. A guy like Jim Harbaugh, well, he doesn't necessarily fit that description. A John Harbaugh doesn't fit that description. I think that really limits your candidate pool.
Yeah, so it seems like the idea of a lesser-known offensive guy that feels like he's lucky to get the job, that has a scheme that Aaron Rodgers likes, would be my guess. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Last thing about the Packers, rest of the season. So they're favored by 5.5 right now at home against the Falcons. So to me, home field's 3. Packers have a really good home field, so let's call it 4. They're still saying the Packers are clearly better than Atlanta. And there's been talk, and Fezzik said it, oh, when a coach gets fired, you see a surge. You see a surge. Well, our second associate producer back here in Vegas, Mackie, did some research for us. If we go back to 2003 and look at all the coaches fired during the season and look at their next game, the team's next game against the spread, so that will be the Packers coming up here against the Falcons, 12-11 against the spread. So pretty much a coin flip. No real surge. 0-3 last 3. Now, if you look at the rest of the season, after the first game after, right, the teams are 57 winners against the spread, 55 losers. So again, right there at a coin flip. And if you just look in 2015, 16, 17, and 18, because we got Hugh Jackson in the mix, so the last 4 years, the rest of the season, we already talked about those in those years, those coaches had lost 3 in a row the next game. But then if you go beyond that, 8-19 against the spread. So the trend has been these teams have gone down after the firing, which kind of makes sense. In the modern age where players aren't as worried about what the coaches think, and there's always this talk, hey, there's a new sheriff in town, players got to play extra hard. Maybe they just don't care as much. Maybe they think the player empowerment means more. But either way, history tells us that the idea that a team surges after firing their coach because they have a new start, at least against the Vegas number, that's not the case. The one thing that makes me think it could be the case for the Packers is I think Aaron Rodgers has a statement to make. Everyone knows he pushed out McCarthy. If he doesn't have a good ending of the year, he'll get so much more heat. If he does, it'll be like, hey, Aaron was right all along, and I'm pretty sure that's what Aaron wants us to be saying. When we come back, we're going to talk about Ohio State and how Urban Meyer leaving is causing the future of the Buckeyes to be in doubt.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we've got cash questions from around the NFL.
We each weekday bring the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 50 degrees. That's cold in Vegas. The neon is chugging.
You know, RJ, for people that may have missed it, and if you did, that's your fault. But if you may have missed it, there was a hotly debated issue that was brought up on the show yesterday, and it was the cause and effect. What would happen now that Urban Meyer is stepping down in Columbus as head coach of Ohio State? And news came out earlier on Wednesday that yet another recruit has decommitted from the Ohio State Buckeyes. What does Vegas make of the recent news?
Well, there's a debate about it still, but I'm starting to think it's hard for the side against me, represented by Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. We'll see. All right, Brad. So yesterday, recap our disagreement.
Well, the disagreement is Urban Meyer final game, retiring after the end of the Rose Bowl. I think it's going to be a positive. These players are going to, it's going to be a win one for the Gipper type of atmosphere for the Buckeyes. Last game for Urban Meyer. It'll be a positive effect, and the market agrees. The line jumped up a point yesterday after the Urban Meyer news.
Okay, so Buckeyes were favored by what, and now they're favored by what?
Favored by 5, now favored by 6.
Okay. Now, if the market was king, then you'd be an idiot for ever laying minus 110, right?
Yep.
Because the theory is the you're going to win 50% if the market is always right. Why would you lay, hey, you want to lay minus 110 on a coin flip? We'll do it all night long, baby. All night long. So the question becomes, the market's sometimes wrong. I believe these decommitments, and we've seen two of them.
Yeah, two of them.
Major guys.
Highly ranking guys in the next year's class, not this year's class.
This year's, okay. But what we're saying is the recruiting, the reason these great schools do what they do, it's they have a pipeline.
Yeah, and the Buckeyes recruiting class right now, signing day just a few days away, at least the first signing period, the worst class they've had in like 8 years.
Interesting. Okay, so here's my thought. If two key players decommit, what's that a sign of? What is it saying? It's saying that we made this commitment to Ohio State based on a certain set of assumptions, one of the key ones being Urban Meyer's the coach. And now those assumptions have changed, thus our decision, my decision as the player's perspective has changed. Makes a ton of sense, right? If you're going to a place and you think you're getting 2-for-1 on your buffet, all of a sudden you get there, the coupon, they don't accept it. What do? You might change your mind. Knowing you, you would change your mind.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Now, how many hours would you say these players have spent in the presence of Urban Meyer?
A couple hours is fair.
A handful.
Yep.
So that Urban Meyer's presence meant so much after even a couple of hours. Now think about this year's freshmen, this year's sophomores, this year's juniors. And we looked at it before the show. Only 4 seniors on this Buckeye team. So most of them are freshmen, sophomores, juniors. Is these 4 seniors? Other than that, you're thinking, wait a minute, Urban Meyer came into our living room, said, we're going to take this journey together, and now Urban's leaving. And I listened back to the press conference. He wouldn't even make the medical thing the focus. He said, I can't say it's any one thing. So that's verbatim. That's verbatim. By definition, what I'm hearing from Urban is there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to talk about it, but I'm out of here. You guys, you can't leave. If you do, there's a consequence, right? You have to sit out a year. But I'm leaving. Bye-bye. The idea that none of those players are going to feel abandoned, I think is absurd. Now, remember, I'm not saying net-net this will be a huge negative. I think there is a phenomenon, a win one for the Gipper with some of the players. But I think there's going to be some of the players, the non-seniors, that are going to feel abandoned. And because of that, maybe the net effect is neutral. Maybe it's a slight negative, but I think at best it's neutral. But now, if I like Washington, I'm getting 6 points instead of 5 points. So my question to you again is, now that you've been educated on this, do you feel like that neutral is probably the better assessment?
No, I still think it's a positive. And the great thing about Urban Meyer is, boy, he's done this multiple times in the past. And what was the past history? Utah, 2004, left the Utah players for Florida, still decided to stay on and coach the Fiesta Bowl. Utah won 35-7, covered the spread by a couple touchdowns. Happened in 2009. Urban Meyer decides to retire from Florida. A week later, now he's back. If I'm a player, what's going on here? How committed is he? Well, they went on the win.
Well, so hold on a second. So they went into that game thinking he was more committed, meaning his health problems were so bad he had to quit. But then he said, boys, I can't. If anything, that's the polar opposite. If Urban Meyer today, that's an interesting question. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas talking to Brad Powers. Right now, if Urban Meyer announced, you know something, I looked into my soul late last night and I said, I can't leave my boys. I'm back and I'm back next year. Would you downgrade Ohio State?
No, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. So how can you upgrade both ties? Now, all right, that was a good ending. On our podcast, and we did a deep dive on some early bowl games. You can go to pregame.com and find that, or simply search for RJ Bell on a podcast player. By the way, search for RJ Bell. You can get straight out of Vegas's podcast too. So there's two of them. This one every day and the one we do that's a deeper dive. And we bet $500 on this game, but I got you so rattled. So I took Washington, you took Ohio State. The market price right now is six. I got you so rattled, you gave me seven.
Yep.
Even money. Now, our bet here on Straight Out of Vegas is $100. That's a standard bet. Do you want to add 100 to your bet?
Absolutely.
At seven.
Yes.
See, here's the thing you got to know, Jonas, is when someone feels like their ego's at stake, especially when it's an ego-driven guy like Brad, you can use that to your advantage. Just a little tip.
I'm not using anything college betting-wise when it comes to Brad. That guy will dominate me. All right, we move now to a brand-new feature on the show called Cash Questions from the NFL, and we start Thursday Night Football. It's the Jaguars at the Titans. So the question is, RJ, what Jacksonville team are we going to see? The team that lost seven straight or the team that shut out a red-hot Colts team last week?
I tell you, Fezzik had such a great insight. And when you've done this for 30-plus years, you've heard a lot of the rationale. He had a fresh one about this Jags team. If you look at the stats, you look at the scoring, Kessler was no upgrade. If anything, a downgrade on the offensive side as a quarterback, obviously for the Jags. But what happened was that defense played with so much more vigor. Remember, Jags had been on a seven-game losing streak. The season was over. They had been less than a half a football away, two quarters less than that, from the Super Bowl, the Jacksonville Jags. And now seven straight losses. The idea they played with the fire they did against the Colts, against a red-hot Colts team, it had been like many, many games in a row that Andrew Luck had three touchdowns at minimum throwing in each game, and they shut him out. I think Fezzik's take was Bortles was such a negative in that locker room for whatever reason that just replacing him, maybe it was a slight downgrade on offense, maybe, but it was a significant upgrade for the Jacksonville D. And to me, I think that's something that carries over. So if anything, I think Jacksonville today is significantly upgraded relative to where they were 2 weeks ago with Bortles, even though Bortles is the better quarterback. It shows you these are human beings and there's emotions involved. In just 1 minute, we're going to look at the three biggest upcoming games football games for the weekend.
That's coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
A trade today in Major League Baseball as the Arizona Diamondbacks have sent first baseman Paul Goldschmidt to the St. Louis Cardinals. Goldschmidt was a six-time All-Star in Arizona. Twice was the runner-up for the National League's Most Valuable Player Award. Now he'll man first base in St. Louis. As for what the Diamondbacks received in return, they're getting catcher Carson Kelly, right-handed pitcher Luke Weaver, and infielder Andy Young, along with a draft pick. In the NFL, the Broncos lost wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, who suffered a ruptured Achilles in practice today. He is expected to go on IR with the team, expected to claim wide receiver Andre Holmes on waivers from the Buffalo Bills, according to reports out of the Mile High City. Bears and Rams play on Sunday night. Bears head coach Matt Nagy says he has a strong feeling that quarterback Mitchell Trubisky will play in that game. Trubisky has missed the last two games with a shoulder injury, but was on the practice field today. So was Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco, but he was on the field on a limited basis because of his hip injury. Lamar Jackson on track to start for the fourth straight game against Kansas City on Sunday. In the NBA, check that, the WNBA, the LA Sparks of the league, have hired Derek Fisher to be the team's new head coach. Warriors-Cavs in an NBA Finals rematch tonight. Head coach Steve Kerr of the Warriors says they expect Draymond Green to return from his toe injury either Monday or a week from tonight against the Raptors. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas always comes to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we have not one, but two early best bets here on Straight Outta Vegas. That 12 minutes from now here on FSR. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Emmanuel Sanders, worth about a half point. If you look at the market, Denver was about a five-point favorite at San Francisco. Move to about four in some spots, four and a half in others. But remember, five is not a key number. It doesn't fall. Games don't often fall with a margin of five. So it's more of a solid half a point. I think worth more than you would expect, perhaps, because of the thinness at receiver with Denver. They traded away Thomas, a wide receiver, and Sanders was by far the go-to guy left. So to me, Ace, it certainly moves the needle against the Broncos in a way Vegas has taken notice of. Sanders out for the Broncos.
Guys, it's time to take an early look at some of the big games this weekend, not only in the NFL, but also in college football. And we will start with the Bears and the Rams Sunday night in Chicago right now on pregame.com. The Rams are a three-point favorite.
Yeah, so Rams, even though they covered last week, late score, we had them, we were happy. As a big favorite, last eight games, Rams have covered twice only in eight games. So you're thinking, okay, overrated a little bit, maybe. But one thing makes me positive about the Rams, one thing makes me negative. The positive is Tlaib. Now, if you look at weeks 1 through 3 when Tlaib was healthy, their cornerback, the Rams allowed 12 points per game, best in the NFL. Weeks 4 through 12, Rams were without Tlaib, they allowed 31 points a game. 12 points with Tlaib, three games. Weeks 4 through 12, 31 points. Last week, Tlaib's back, gives up 16 points. So four games, you're looking at, you know, 13, almost 14 points a game. With Tlaib, over 30 points a game without Tlaib. That makes you think, boy, the market's not grading Tlaib like that. Could he be that valuable? No, but could he be much more valuable than we think? Yeah, the numbers seem to think so. You always got to be careful, or say so. You always got to be careful with small sample sizes, but boy, the fact he came back and we saw it again, pretty good sign. What makes me worried about the Rams, and Jonas, we talked about this yesterday, those fires. And I know it's something that as time has passed, it's like, oh, wasn't that a while back? The Rams had a bye before Detroit. After the game, Gurley said the following, quote, "It was a long week. I'm tired." Wait a minute. You just had a bye. This is supposed to be a late season bye is a big advantage. You need the bye. You'd think that the team would be already back to go. And I know Gurley's just one guy, but he's a key guy. I mean, does it strike? I mean, you being really around those fires, Jonas, do you feel like there's a lingering fatigue? And obviously, you're not a professional athlete. You play one on the radio, but thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think there is definitely lingering fatigue. You also got to factor in not only the fires, but they've been in a lot of close games that have come down to the wire. Seattle, that Monday night duel with Kansas City.
But that's what the bye is supposed to help you with,
right?
Is freshen up
right.
from that.
Yeah, they've traveled over to London. They stayed in Denver, which was a weird move by Sean McVay and the team. An extra week when they didn't have to.
Well, no, it was a brilliant move. Remember, the game was supposed to be in Mexico City against
right.
Kansas City. Patriots stayed at altitude the
yep.
week before. It was a great move. It just backfired, though they won the game, because they didn't end up playing at altitude.
Yeah, there's no way. Nobody out here, whether it be the shootings or the fires, is just completely over it. Living in Thousand Oaks, there's reminders everywhere. There's still murals all over the place.
Yeah.
It's not a great scene.
So, to me, the Rams fatigue, which you wouldn't expect, is a negative. And we'll see. In another week, maybe they're freshened up, but they're on the road again, right? Here's the thing. I don't want to bet the Bears either, though. Bears supposed to be old school. Run the ball, play some great defense, get a strip sack, and pound some Budweiser after the game. Well, no sponsorship there. If you look at the prior five games the Bears have played, here's their yards per rush. So every time they attempt to run. And oh, by the way, the average in the NFL is a little above 4 yards a carry. 2.6, 2.5. 3.8, 2.5, 3.7. So five games, every game below the NFL average, some of them significantly below the Bears not running the ball effectively. The four games before that, 4.5, 5.3, 5.4, 5.3. This team was running the ball, the Bears, exceptionally well, and now they're not. You can say Chase Daniel is part of that, but that's only been two games, and it's been five. So to me, we've been speculating here on Straight Out of Vegas the whole season, Nagy scheming up things really effectively, but eventually the DCs tend to figure that kind of thing out. At least their ability to run the ball, the Bears, has really suffered.
And you look on top of that, I want to ask a question, and maybe Fez had a little bit of insight. He likes the Bears, gave out the line move. Did he have a little bit on the Trubisky news?
Well, you know, Bear, you never quite know. We make it a rule. You got to share what you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fez.
He didn't mention that in his handicap.
Yeah. Listen, that's why he's Fez, right? That's why he wins. That's why he has a mansion and a yacht.
Yeah, and then he doesn't show up the next day. It just makes you wonder.
Well, listen, we've been doing this for, what, almost 3 months?
Right.
2 days,
yes.
Right? We'll give it to him.
Guys, there is college football this weekend. The annual Navy-Army game is Saturday. Army right now is 7-point favorite.
And let's talk about that 7-point line. I like to bet market outliers. Why? Usually it represents a market overreaction. This is the largest favorite role for Army in this series since 1991. In the preseason, Navy was the touchdown favorite here. A 2-touchdown line move in this all-important rivalry. To me, that says overreaction of the season so far. I lean with Navy here plus the 7.
So the 2-touchdown line move is from when to when?
It's from the summer lines. They're called Game of the Years, the big games of the year,
yes.
The set out lines, to right now. To
quickly, the total in this game has a real strong history.
Yeah, 12 straight unders between Army and Navy. That is now finally priced into this total at 39.5. That's the lowest total in this series in the last 16 years.
And the rationale to the under is they both run a similar offense, thus they're used to defending it. And it's a gimmick offense, the option, which other teams tend to struggle with. So they usually look better, these teams, on offense than they really are.
Yep.
But it's that lack of being familiar with it, which is the big advantage for these academy schools. When we come back, not one best bet, two best bets.
That's coming up next here on Straight Out of Vegas. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. We have got some national TV NBA games coming up later on tonight. We're going to start with the 76ers at the Raptors right now on pregame.com. The Raptors are a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, and what I love about this 6-7 slot Eastern, Jonas, is, as you say, the pregame show America always wanted, with the idea of what's the odds. If I'm betting it, who should I play? But even if I'm not betting it, because our research shows that about half the people that listen to Straight Out of Vegas bet, about half don't. They just want to know more than their buddies, as we like to say. And this one, the chance with these two national TV games to touch on them, it's what makes this show exciting for me, especially. Two good stats from pregame stats and info, we're going to call it, because the guy that came up with it was kind of strutting a little bit. So we want to keep the egos down here behind the scenes.
Wally Balls, it's my alias.
So either pregame stats and info or Wally Balls, we'll say, came up with this. 5-9 against the spread the Sixers wore before Jimmy Butler. 6-5 against the spread since. So you might say 6-5 is not all that great. Obviously, though, playing slightly the Sixers above expectations with Butler, well below without. Also, though, if you look at Toronto, this is surprising. Against the spread with Kawhi, 7-12, 7 winners, 12 losers. Without him, 5-1. So might be a sign he's not fully integrated yet, but Kawhi is playing tonight. And personally, I'd probably lean towards the Sixers.
The second half of the NBA doubleheader later on tonight sees the Spurs in L.A. to take on the Lakers. The Lakers are an 8.5-point favorite.
Boy, that just tells you the whole L.A. pessimism. This team, you know, in general, I think is doing better than some people thought, especially after the slowish start. Here's a trend that's not quite applicable, but the concept applies. When the Lakers, or specifically when LeBron, and this goes back to with Cleveland, is a double-digit home favorite. So supposed to win easy at home. 2-14 against the spread. Now, you might say, RJ, the line's 8.5, the line's 9. But it's the same concept. It's a clear. So I'm not saying bet it. I'm not saying it'd be as strong as 2-14. But the concept, I think, is the same. LeBron has a game he expects to win, and he tends to underperform in those games, and the team does too. By the way, over-under for LeBron's points tonight, 28.5. Maybe look towards the under with a prop.
We are Straight Out of Vegas, brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Now it is time for best bets. We promised bonus bets, best bets included, but we're going to start with Brad Powers, your early best bet.
And this is one where it's a bowl game. But just like Fezzik does on Tuesday, in which we want to give the stuff early when we think the line's going to move, and history has shown Fez knows when the line's going to move, Brad, you think this big bowl game line is going to move?
Yeah, and we're going to go with the Peach Bowl. We're going to take Florida +7.5. If you like the dog, that extra hook, the extra half point, very enticing. I think the line closes less than 7.5. We don't know for sure, but that is my expectation. Here's what I'm seeing from Michigan. A lot of distractions. We just opened up the show. Jim Harbaugh possibly up for some NFL jobs. Here's what I know from a player aspect. One of their best players, Rashawn Gary, he's skipping the bowl game. He's not going to play in it. And I got to think, what is Michigan's motivation?
So it's not just missing. It's not being injured. It's saying, oh, this game's not worth playing.
Not going to play. And Michigan, from a psychological aspect, just a couple weeks ago was thinking playoffs. They're favored at Ohio State, and now we got to play.
They
in
were
Peach
better
Bowl
than 50% Michigan to make the playoffs, because if they had won, they would have gotten in.
Exactly.
Over Oklahoma. You agree with that?
No question. They would have gotten in over Oklahoma. So now we're in the Peach Bowl. I like Florida here, +7.5.
All right, so you're saying bet it now if you like it. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge on Twitter, at Brad Powers 7. Brad Powers, the number 7.
All right, it's early best bet time. A bonus from the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, I like this one. And lines started moving. You can still grab some 7s. I'm going with the Ravens. Speaking of those Harbaughs, I'm going with the Ravens +7 right now at Kansas City. Now, the easy part of this handicap is the distraction with Kareem Hunt. Now, there's two effects of Hunt. One, the distraction, and maybe that's dissipating just a little bit, or maybe more than a little, but it's still there. But number two is he's not on the field. And if anything, I really felt like Kansas City would want to make a statement against the Raiders. In theory, if you're favored by 14 on the road, you're supposed to name your score to some degree. Obviously, that's not the way the game went. That told me there was more in drama. And remember, that was off a bye. And Andy Reid's history off a bye is outstanding. So that game against the Raiders is a warning sign to me about what's happening internally with Kansas City. On the Lamar Jackson side, as much as I don't think it's sustainable as much as he's going to run or he seems to want to run, I only need him to get through this game if we bet the Ravens. Not the rest of the season, not the playoffs, not whatever. And who has the worst rushing defense in the NFL? Kansas City. So if there's any team that this run with the quarterback and run with your running backs is going to be effective, it's against the worst team against the run in the NFL based upon DVOA. That's the Chiefs. That's why we're betting Ravens plus 7.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. If you missed any of today's show, you can go to foxsportsradio.com and click on the podcast link. We are back tomorrow here on Straight Outta Vegas, 6 Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.